We are in the midst of a clown shortage. Big circuses aren't yet feeling the pinch, but it's certainly getting harder to book a clown for a birthday party. Today, Iowa clowns keeping the tradition alive. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, I'll talk with Bandana the Clown of Iowa City and Silly Sally, who hails from Ames. We'll talk about the work, art, and joy of clowning. We'll also remember one of Iowa's most famous clowns, Felix Adler of Clinton, once known as the King of Clowns. And it's the second to last day of our spring membership drive. Please make an investment in Iowa Public Radio, 800-971-8815. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. The tradition of clowning is one that dates back to ancient Egypt, but fewer people today seem to be drawn to this traditional art. This hour, I'll talk with two Iowa clowns who are keeping the tradition alive, and later in the hour, we'll remember one of Iowa's most famous clowns, the King of Clowns, Felix Adler from Clinton. And all through the hour, we'd love to hear your memories as well. Who was your favorite clown when you were growing up? You can share your memories of Iowa clowns by giving us a call at 866-780-9100. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And with me this morning is Gary Murphy of Washington, Iowa. He's better known as Bandana the Clown. Hello, Gary.
Hi there, Charity. How are you today?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Also with us is Sally Dubois of Ames, and she's known to her students in her PE classes as Mrs. Dubois, but she's known to children all over Central Iowa as Silly Sally. Hello, Sally.
Good morning, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure.
And Gary, let's start with you. When did you start clowning?
Well, I was in education for several years, And so I was getting ready to retire, and my wife, I always liked to kind of wear silly clothes and all that sort of thing. I was an elementary principal for several years, and my wife decided, why don't you get into it a little bit more? So I thought it over, and my last year at the school, at elementary school in Washington, I put on a show with my teachers and the custodians. We all got involved. We set up a tent in the gym. We set up one ring, brought in sawdust, and we all did. I dressed up a clown. Everybody had a job, and we did this because the kids read so many books. Well, that was so much fun, we decided to go a little bit farther than that. So I went to Wisconsin for a three-day deal up there to learn a little bit more clowning. I was sort of over my head when I got into it because it's not as simple as people think. And then from then on, I guess I just got hooked on it and continued on and doing it for fun. I get paid a little, but just take care of my expenses. But other than that, it's pure fun.
So where did you go to get your training?
Well, basically, there was a college in Wisconsin I went to for just about a three-day deal. But most of it, I go to workshops and things like that. Des Moines has had one at the clown group up there. And there are other clown groups around the state and things that you can get involved in if you care to.
All right. And you said you felt a little over your head. What was it that made you feel like this was more than you imagined?
Well, I think first of all, you know, you get the idea if you put on makeup that you're somebody else, but you're not. You've got to be yourself. And if you're not yourself, don't try to clown because I enjoy kids. That's why I'm into the thing. I enjoy talking with them, visiting with them. I don't consider myself a big balloon maker, but I do it. And it's just the makeup is a big thing. I did not realize how difficult it was to come up with makeup. And when you first start out, you're kind of like a teenage girl, I guess. You put on all the makeup you can get on. And then you suddenly realize, nah, you don't need all that makeup, and you start cutting back. So that's kind of the way it got started. But and then I do a few gigs around town, and from there it sort of grew. Yeah.
Now, of course, I've seen you at the farmer's market in Iowa City. I've seen you around, and my kids enjoy you. But when people see Bandana the Clown, what – describe for those who haven't seen you perform – what's your act like?
Well, okay, I'm considered a tramp clown. I went into that particular mode because I wore a beard for years, and it's pretty hard to be white-faced with all white with a beard and all that. So I got started with that. I There's a fellow here in Iowa City, still here, had a clown show, or not a clown show, but a store close by here. So he sold me my first outfit, and I got started on that. But it was quite a thing because I was scared. And I still, when I go out, I mean, you know, you have to, if you do a show or something. And I prefer the walk around clowning, where you go around, meet people, visit with kids, hold them, talk to them, make balloons and that sort of thing, as opposed to having shows, though I do them. But it's when you're a one-person show, it's a little more difficult getting set up because every kid wants to know what you do with your magic thing, and you've got 50 kids there all wanting to know, or they all know how you did the trick, too. I know how you did that. My brother's got that. He knows how to do it. All right, keep quiet, kid. Just keep going on, and if you got a question or something, just whisper it in my ear, and we'll go from there.
All right. Well, Sally, how did you get started in clowning?
Well, like Gary, I'm also an educator by trade, and I started was teaching a preschool class one day. I always liked clowning. I grew up in eastern Iowa for early part of my life, and I loved the Dr. Mack show and watched Mambo the Clown. So he was sort of the first clown that I identified with. And then when I was teaching a preschool class one day, the kids were like, wow, this is just like a birthday party. And sort of like Gary, I was like, oh, wow, I could be a clown. And so I just slapped on some makeup and put on a funny costume. And I had already been doing puppetry, so, and had the experience with children, but just like Gary mentioned, I didn't really know what I was doing. So I also attended the clown camp in Wisconsin a couple of different times, and I belong to the group he mentioned in Des Moines called the Corn Patch Clowns. That's sort of where I learned a lot about the makeup and costuming and how to become a professional clown, might we say.
Now, I think everybody's going to be suspicious of educators now. Are you also secretly a clown? And Gary mentioned before we started the show that he used to be a PE teacher as well. At clown camp, is it full of former PE teachers?
Actually, my first year there, I met up with four other PE teachers. So I think there are quite a few of us educators who do the clowning thing. But I know clowns from all different professions. And so I think we come mainly because we love children, and we also just love the allure, I guess, of the clowning.
Now, for people who haven't seen Silly Sally do her thing, what is your act like?
Well, I, like Gary, I do some of the walk around in balloons, but probably my favorite thing to do is the stage shows, and I do a lot of school shows, library programs, anything to do with educating kids in a fun and entertaining way. But I also do some adult programming. I do singing telegrams, and I also am a musician, so I have two Silly Sally CDs out and videos, so I have kind of an eclectic clown character, I guess you might say.
Wow. Clown.
Well, I was just thinking that she's got two CDs out. I have one out. It's all in mime, so I don't know whether you've seen it or not. But if you do, buy it, will you? Because it'll help me out.
So, Sally, I'm curious. I mean, as an educator, obviously you have done programs for many, many students without being a clown. What changes when you put on that clown costume?
Well, I think, as many of my former students will say, they probably saw Silly Sally. And when I'm out substitute teaching now, they still say, are you Silly Sally? But when I put that makeup on, it does change a little bit inside of what I'm doing. The inner child Sally comes out, and that performer comes out. And particularly when I get working with my puppets, I do some ventriloquism, and they become my partners, and we sort of feed off of each other. So that's, I guess, maybe a little bit of the difference there.
How about you, Gary? How does it change when you have your makeup on? I mean, obviously, you live in a fairly small community,
right,
and you're well-known in the community. Yeah. You talk to probably a lot of kids, and you used to be an educator. But when you put on the clown costume, how does that change that first interaction with a child?
Well, I think the first thing I have to do is to make the young children realize that I'm not scary. And that's a big thing anymore. It's amazing how many people are scared of clowns, and I think that's due to the movies and TVs and things we've seen. So I try not to come on too strong, if I see a child is a little scared, I back up. And generally within a half hour, I'm talking to him. He's giving me five and all that sort of thing. But it changes in as much, I think, as she was saying, too. You bring your kid side out, you know. I'm one of the few people who goes to a toy store, and I'm looking for stuff as an adult, you know. And people's like, you're buying that? I mean, you know, you're 78 years old. What do you need that for? Oh, I don't know. It looks like it'd be a good thing to put in my act. So you go into your past and your childhood and how you grew up seeing a clown.
Well, and you mentioned people who are afraid of clowns. And I always, you know, when I was growing up, I there were so many jokes about people being afraid of clowns. But I honestly didn't think it was a real thing until I've met a number of people who are really, honestly, very frightened of clowns.
True.
How do you deal with that, Sally?
Well, like Gary said, you try to, I usually try to back off if I see a child, and in more cases, it's adults that are afraid of me in my clown costume. So of course their friends are all saying, come over here, because they want to see the person be scared. But I usually just wave from afar, or, then something else that I have done with young children is actually gone into a preschool or a kindergarten room and have them watch me put on my makeup so that they can see that I am just a person with makeup on. And I try to say, now, you know, maybe you put on makeup for Halloween or a mask, and I'm just pretending to be the clown today.
How much makeup do you wear?
I'm in a goose clown, which means that I have the white around my eyes and my mouth. And I really try not to put on a whole lot of extra makeup because, first of all, it does take a lot of extra time. But just because of that, the scary factor. And it used to be back in the day when we had circus clowns, they had a lot more makeup, or clowns that are off in the distance. But the trend now is a lighter makeup versus a whole bunch of makeup.
And Gary, you too try to keep the makeup not to a minimum. I mean, I don't think
well,
any clowns
well, yes,
go to a minimum. But
I do, and yeah. I have white around the mouth, and I try to make my lips a little red, and then I have a black beard. I mean, I do that part, and maybe the eyes, above the eyes a little bit, but that's about it compared to what I started with. It was pretty scary what I started with. I probably scared myself. I look at it now. Wow.
You both mentioned what giving your clowning a label as a tramp clowner. What was the term that you used, Sally?
It's called a goosed clown.
A goose.
And then there's the white face clown, right. And there's a character clown such as Ronald McDonald.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you went to clown camp for the first time, were you introduced to all these different options?
Yes, you sort of learn about those, and then you try to figure out what kind of a clown would fit your character. You know, yes, you yourself, but you still sort of have a character that comes out. The white-faced clown is more of the quiet type of clown, and these all came from originally from the circus. The Agus clown is sort of the comedy part of the clowning. And then the tramp is sort of known as, oh, maybe the sadder type of clown. And then now we've sort of have these character clowns that come out. And I have friends who, you know, are a cowboy clown or something like that. Or Ronald McDonald would be a character clown.
Okay. And how did you mentioned, Gary, that you had a beard. So
yes.
That led you into being the tramp clown.
Tramp clown, yeah. And I use the name bandana because I carried a red handkerchief with me and stuff. I had the kids. I would like to interject this one. I had the kids at school try to come up a name for me, and oh God, I had some names, and I had some like Flappy Bottom, and I think that was one of the teachers probably put that in. I'm not sure. And but then I came up with Bandana and kind of on my own. But oh, I had some very interesting ones. Some not so interesting, but that's where I kind of grew up, and then I kind of. Like Sally says, you kind of develop as you go along. You take away something, you add something, and
right.
For your character.
Well, Silly Sally seems like a natural, but did you have to go through a lot of different iterations before coming up with that?
No, not at all. Actually, the preschool children were calling me Silly Sally long before I became a clown. So I thought, well, that just fits. So I'm going to just, yeah. And I'm pretty silly most of the time.
Now, you mentioned using puppets before you were a clown, and you use puppets now, right?
Yes, I've used puppets for a long time in my teaching before I got into clowning, and I do a lot with puppets now and have learned the art of ventriloquism. I'm by no means an expert, but still working on that. And last summer, I was able to go to the National Ventriloquist Convention, which was a very interesting experience as well.
Wow. And I've seen video. I think you're a very good ventriloquist. I'm impressed. And how much of your time do you devote to clowning now, Sally?
Well, I in the wintertime, it's pretty slow. Then I'm sure Gary finds this, too. As we start to get into spring and summer, it becomes a little bit more of a... Oh, we got music coming on.
Yeah.
that probably means we got to go, doesn't
it? That's true, but we'll be back in just a few minutes. I'm talking with Silly Sally, Sally Dubois of Ames, and Bandana the Clown, Gary Murphy of Washington. We'll continue our conversation about clowning in a few minutes. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Be a clown, be a clown. All the world loves a clown.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Back to clowning. We are facing a clown shortage in the United States. The big circuses aren't suffering yet, but it may be a little bit harder to book a clown for a birthday party. Right now, this hour, I'm talking with two Iowa clowns who are keeping this tradition alive. Gary Murphy of Washington, Iowa is here. He's better known as Bandana the Clown. Silly Sally, Sally Dubois of Ames, is also here. And now we're going to turn our attention to a historical clown of Iowa, probably the most famous clown to ever come out of the state of Iowa. With me is Theodora Smith. She is the niece of the King of Clowns, as he was known, Felix Adler. And he hailed from Clinton, Iowa. So does she. Hello, Theo.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you.
There are a lot of different stories told about how your uncle got involved with the circus, but maybe you can tell us what really happened. How did
he
get involved?
I guess when I look back here, I had an article here about, and I didn't realize this before till I started looking up information, but the Ringlings actually lived in McGregor, Iowa. Were born there.
The Ringling Brothers.
In 1864.
Okay.
And I always heard the story of how the circus came to town, and it came to Clinton when Felix was a little boy. So naturally, children were attracted by something like this. And he would go down and observe what all was going on down on the circus grounds. So I don't know just what year that was. It was probably about, 1895. He was born in 1895. Okay, so it'd probably been about 1910, something like that.
Okay.
As a little boy, and he would go down there. And actually, he did go down once, and the story was that he fell asleep on one of the trains, because the story was he ran away to the circus when he was a little boy. Well, that didn't really happen, but he fell asleep on one of the circus trains and got carried to Davenport, and Grandpa had to go down and bring him back home.
Well, and he didn't run away with the circus as a young man. He actually got sent off to pharmacy school, right?
And he did go off to pharmacy school, too. He wanted... growing up, he thought he wanted to be a pharmacist, and he went away to pharmacy school in Chicago and came back and still had the idea, I guess, of the circus. So
he left pharmacy school, and
he actually started a vaudeville act with the circus. And wherever there are clowns, he once said they are... they're really a carefree bunch, jolly good fellows and full of the devil. And so in all the years of my life, I have never seen a clown suffering from a broken heart. I've seen a lot of them broke, though. But so he did become a clown and enjoyed it very much. He also went away to World War II and entertained all the servicemen while he was in the service. So he dedicated his life to the art of making people laugh. He cared about people and enjoyed life, cared about children and wanted them to learn all they could and see smiles on their face. Tell them if they see someone without a smile, give them one of yours. No one needs a smile more than someone that doesn't have a smile to give.
Now, he had a very iconic look. He had a red nose.
Yeah, he was an unmistakable in his tiny hat and his inflated suit, which gave him the look of an enormous bouncing balloon. His face and bald pate chalk white with outsized, festively painted laughing eyes and smiling mouth and brows over an inch long and a large nose that lit up on a cue.
Okay. And he also performed often with a trained pig?
Yes, he did. Yes. He was noted for having his pig in the act. And I don't know how many he must have trained. It was over 300, I know, that he trained over the years that he was with the circus. He had a little slide that he would have them slide down, or else they just walked behind him. I'm trying to see here now. I had that here, too, now, and I'm not finding it real quickly.
Oh, that's just fine. Did you ever get to see him perform?
Oh, yes, I did. Yep. Down in Davenport, we were able to go down and see him when he was there because, of course, they always just made the big cities. But at one time, too, it was also noted, being the Ringlings grew up in Iowa, and I imagine that was the reason. That's what I started to say, how he got involved in it, was that the circus came to Clinton, and they actually almost decided to locate in Clinton as to up in Baraboo.
Oh, really?
But that never happened.
And he, as I mentioned, he became incredibly famous, very well known. He was called the King of Clowns. He was also called the White House Clown, and he actually performed in the White House?
Yes, he did, because that was during Coolidge and Roosevelt's years, and I guess their children liked Uncle Felix, and so he performed for them for their birthdays in the White House, and so that's why he was known as the White House Clown.
Wow. That's an incredible honor.
Yep. And, you know, he cared about people and enjoyed life, and he cared about children, so I guess that's what made him famous, and he was unmistakable in his tiny hat and in his inflated suit. I guess I maybe said that already. And because he cared so much about his costumes, you know, he wasn't one that just put on one costume and that was it. He was always searching for what was going to make the people happy. His birthstone nose, the little hat and the red hair and the durarees, the bay window and the big feet with variations. Famous, he had many walk-arounds. For one, he had... This is tells about his pigs, would climb a ladder in front of each section of the seats. In another, dressed as the big bad wolf and was chased around the track by three of his pigs. And yet another, he bottle-fed a baby pig besides the walk-arounds. A clown in the three-ring circus is expected to perfect stop gauge and production acts and take part in the large space. Such as lavish parades. Each necessitates costume change. He wasn't one to just have one costume. He had many costumes.
Well, and it's so funny when you describe him, I can imagine exactly what he looked like, but then I also think about all of the clowns that have come after him. There's a little bit of Felix Adler in almost every clown you see.
Well, there is, I guess. I'm sure they've picked up on that. And I guess there's another part here. It says a clown's face is made up of basically the same once he established his style, but costumes may differ for each entrance. And I guess that's what made him different, that he was an exception. He always was trying to please the crowd.
And he has been honored in many, many ways.
Yeah, he just had an honor actually in Sarasota, Florida, for being one of the greats of the past.
Oh, wonderful.
That was on January the 18th. And I had hoped to go down to it, but I was in the hospital.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
So we're still waiting for that plaque to come. It's supposed to come to the family because over my years, I also developed the Felix Sadler Children's Discovery Center. When he was inducted into the Clown Hall of Fame up in Baraboo back in 1989, we started having a Felix Sadler Day in Clinton in his memory, and they were just showing the memorabilia on display, and my sister and I both said, we need more than memorabilia. He gave his life to children and making children happy, and he always wanted children to learn all they could learn. So we started just bringing things in, like we made a grocery store and things that we could do, you know, that didn't cost us a lot. And, well, we added, we had a train we put on display showing the circus as much as we could. That still hasn't got developed like I wanted it to, but maybe someday.
Well, and it has developed into a wonderful children's museum. Thank you, Theo, so much for talking with me today.
All right. Thank you.
I was just talking with Theodora Smith. She is the niece of Felix Adler, once known as the King of Clowns or the White House Clown. Very, very famous clown who hailed from Clinton, Iowa. And yes, the Felix Adler Children's Discovery Center in Clinton still bears his name. And I would love to hear from you this hour. We're talking with a couple of Iowa clowns who are keeping clowning alive in Iowa. And we'd love to hear your memories as well. Sally was talking earlier about watching Mambo the Clown on television, a wonderful Iowa clown. Who were the clowns that you loved when you were growing up? Give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Gary, were there clowns that inspired you?
Yeah, I think Emmett Kelly was one that Red Skelton and several of those. I like to watch their old movies or old shows, TV shows, because you pick up so much. They were the comedians, the clowns, and they had so many different characters, which was interesting that, like with these clothes and things, he changed. And I have other outfits, too, because you don't want to get tied down just in one thing. But, it's quite interesting, and I found it interesting what she had to say about Felix, because there's many things I had never heard of before, so it's very neat. I don't know whether they still have that. She didn't mention if they still have the parade in Clinton or not.
I don't know either.
Yeah, so, it's great, and he had the right attitude to be a clown.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. And Sally, you mentioned Mambo the Clown. Were there other clowns that you took inspiration from as well?
I don't know if there were so many clowns, but just other entertainers. And I was just really enthralled and infatuated, I guess, with children's television entertainers when I was a child. So I mentioned the Dr. Mack show, and then when we moved to Central Iowa, the Magic Window with Betty Lou. And,
that's what I grew up on.
Yes, and, you know, the Floppy Show, Dwayne and Floppy Show. So all of those, I guess, are a part of sort of what I do now because, I do entertain as a clown, but I do a lot of things out of clown and with puppets. And so it's just the fantasy part of what children find intriguing about the puppets and the clown or the entertainer that's up in front of them. That's sort of, I just taken from a lot of different people.
Sally, I was just wondering, I know there's an opening for a rodeo clown. Are you interested or not?
Well, I'm not sure about that. We did have a rodeo clown come to our Corn Patch Clowns meeting several years ago.
Did you really?
Boy, some of the dangerous things that he had to do. I'm not sure that I could maybe ride the horse, but I'm not sure I'd be wanting to be in front of the bull.
No, that's a very different kind of job.
A guy could climb the fence whether he wanted to or not. With that encouragement, couldn't you?
Yeah. Wilbur is on the line now from Sioux City. Hi, Wilbur.
Good morning. Say, I don't know if your guests have heard of this fellow, but my favorite clown is a guy by the name of his stage name was Frosty.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And he was supposedly at one time one of the five master clowns in the world, was with Barnum and Bailey Circus for at least a quarter of a century, retired out in Burley, Idaho, and he used to give training sessions in up until he was in his 80s, up someplace in Minnesota, I think it was Golden. And I've seen a portrait of him that hangs in, it's not the Louvre, but it's a famous museum there in France. And I just wondered if your guests have ever heard of him.
Well, and his real name was Glenn Little, right?
Glenn Little, that's correct.
If it's the Frosty the clown I'm thinking of, he was a white-faced clown?
Is that? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, so I have heard about him, and I think he probably did some things at the clown camp at one point in Wisconsin and maybe in Minnesota as well.
That is correct. I know he was in both locations. Well into his 80s. He passed away within the last couple of years anyway, but if any of you guys ever get out to Burley, Idaho, you must stop and see his widow because she has all – it's like walking into a clown museum to visit their home.
Wow.
He's got all kinds of contraptions and games and just it's just a fun place to go.
Sounds neat. No, I had not heard of him, but I can imagine. My wife thinks I have too many things like that in our basement. I collect clown items, and I'm sure when I go, somebody will back the car up and load them up and haul them somewhere. But right now, I enjoy them, so that's what it's all about.
Well, Wilbur, thank you so much for your call. And we were talking about a famous clown from Iowa, and actually Glenn Little, Frosty the Clown, hailed from Genoa, Nebraska. So another Midwesterner, at least at the start. I want to talk about the physicality of clowning. I mean, obviously, there are some clowns, rodeo clowns to an extreme, but there are some clowns who are very physical in what they do. When you went to clown camp and you first started your training, Sally, was that part of it, learning to physically be a clown?
Sure. You have to learn, you know, a clown walk is different than if I'm walking just down the street, hopefully. Yes. And then, you know, we had a sort of a not necessarily stunts, but how do you do a pratfall and different things like that? But I'm guessing Gary is sort of like me, and I'm kind of maybe a little bit too old to be falling down and doing all these falls that they do in the circus because they can be very dangerous. But when I'm clowning, I do a lot of dancing and moving around with the kids. So by the time I'm done with a show or a birthday party, I'm pretty tired.
Pretty clowned out.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, Sally. I tried the pratfalls, one of my first things up there, and I thought, boy, I could do it. Everybody else is doing it. I was in my 60s, and I tried it, fell down, pulled muscles in my side, hurt for several days, and my wife said, well, why'd you try to do it? And I said, well, everybody else was doing it, so I thought I could, but I cannot and I will not. That's it.
You're a sensible clown,
yeah,
I think,
I'm ready
Gary.
To quit for that sort of thing. I wish I could because it amazes me what they do.
Well, yeah, but as you mentioned, I mean, so many different kinds of clowns. Right. So I would love for each of you, if you can think of a story from your time as a clown when you really had a really great experience and left thinking, this is why I'm a clown. This is what makes it worthwhile. Sally, do you have one of those?
I don't know if I have a specific experience, but gosh, there's so many different times that's happened. I love going to nursing homes, you know, care centers. The people just love having you. And when I'm up on stage in front of a whole gym full of kids at a school assembly, I think that's where I get that feeling because I see that they're learning something in a creative way. And that's what it's all about for me, that I can teach and yet still this clown up there is teaching them something and they'll learn something that the puppet says, but yet it might be hard when I'm the teacher up there getting them to listen.
Right. Well, and you mentioned that earlier, Gary, you mentioned sometimes you got 50 kids and things are a little out of control. Sally, do you have to draw on teacher Sally?
Oh, definitely. There's been many times when I've been at a birthday party or an event and the kids are getting, you know, I have to, teacher Sally has to come out sometimes and enforce a little discipline. But you have to sort of do that in a clowny way, might
right.
I say.
I was going to say, who has more authority, teacher Sally or silly Sally?
Well, I'd hope both of them do. I have had to sit a few children down at a birthday party when they were being rude or, but mostly kids are very good and it, but there is you have to have a technique when you're organizing and working with children, just like you do when you're a teacher.
So, Gary, tell me about one of those moments when you thought, wow, I'm so glad I became a clown.
Well, I have to go back to a few years ago. I was working as a clown in Central Park, and a local minister called me over to the van, and he said, Gary,
and this is Central Park in Washington.
Washington, Iowa,
right?
Yeah. No, yeah. Don't make me something I'm not, because I'm not ready for the big time. But anyhow, he called me to get in the van with him, and he said, Gary, I just did a funeral for a baby, and there's a lot of small children there. He said, what do you think about going to the house and visiting with the kids? And I said, well, I don't know. I said, I've never done that, but I said, I'm open to it. He said, okay. But I said, I think you should check with the family before we do it, you know. So we got in the van, drove down to this grandparents' place where everyone was together and pulled in, and these kids come running out right away. Oh, Bandana the Clown, Bandana, Bandana. Mm-hmm. And I started making balloons. By the time he got permission, it was too late because, and they were tickled to death to have me. And they said afterwards that that was a great thing. Well, I've never done that since that, but I realized how important that was at the end. I felt pretty good about it because mm-hmm. I was helping in a different way, and I'll probably right. not have that chance again. But it was very unusual and unique.
Well, Sally, you mentioned performing at care centers for mm-hmm. older people. How is Silly Sally different when she talks to older people than when she talks to kids?
Well, I don't know if I'm so different in my character, but what I do is different. I'll incorporate more older music, singing, and then the puppets and maybe what I'm talking about or the magic trick that I'm doing is a little bit different. But for the most part, they enjoy everything that the kids do.
It brings out the kid in all of
exactly.
us, I guess. So, Gary, you've been Bandana the Clown for quite some time now. Is there something that you hope to do with him? Is there something you'd love to try as a clown?
Yeah, I would still. I have never gone to hospitals. I've been at care centers and things, too. Children's hospital things. I keep talking about it because they were close enough, within 30 miles of the university, and I never do it. And that's partially my fault that I don't take the initiative to do it. But I would think I would enjoy that, because if you can do anything to make anyone's life a little easier and better and more fun, mm-hmm. why not do it?
Well, and that's essentially what a clown is, right?
Correct.
Sally, is there something you hope to do that you haven't gotten to do yet?
Well, I've had a lot of different opportunities. I guess I don't know if there's anything specific, but I hope to continue doing my music, come out with another CD, and just keep on keeping on doing the clowning thing.
All right. Sally, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Sally Dubois of Ames, Iowa, better known as Silly Sally. And Gary Murphy, thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's been fun.
Gary Murphy of Washington, Iowa, better known as Bandana the Clown. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.